Good morning. I'm Mike Moss.
And I'm Bruce Allen. Mike Jakaitis is at the editor's desk. Coming up,
we're going to talk live with the NRA President David Keene joining us momentarily about his gun violence meeting with Vice President Biden.
Today, President Obama meets with Afghan President Hamid Karzai at the White House.
Pros and cons of becoming a self-service nation. I'm Christy King.
Zero Dark 30 hunts Bin Laden with Oscar quality. I'm Jason Fraley.
Could we see John Wall back this weekend with the Wizards?
Friday morning, January 11th at 7:31.
Vice President Biden is meeting all week with gun owners, gun victims, and pop culture players to discuss gun safety in the aftermath of the Sandy Hook massacre. Yesterday, he met with members of the National Rifle Association. And joining us live now in WTOP, NRA President David Keene joins us. David, good morning. Great to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, David, after the meeting yesterday, the NRA was critical and said the White House effort was really to undermine the Second Amendment. Where did you want to begin the discussion with how to make our society safer for kids who are in schools and people who attend movies and things like that, as opposed to where the White House began the discussion?
Yeah, I think to be fair to everybody, everyone's concerned about how you prevent the kinds of tragedies that took place at Newtown. But we have a very, very different take on what needs to be done. In our view, we have a school security problem, which we've talked about and which a lot of Americans, millions of Americans, agree with us on. More than that, we have problems with our mental health care system, and we need to make sure that those who have been adjudicated as potentially violently mentally ill are included in the system that prohibits them from buying firearms. And thirdly, we feel very strongly that gun crime needs to be prosecuted vigorously, and that is not happening under this administration. The president and the vice president, on the other hand, blame everything on firearms. And we know enough, and we've got a little experience with firearms and what works and what doesn't work, to think that what they're talking about is essentially cosmetic, feel-good legislation that will not prevent another Newtown, much as they'd like to do that. We think you have to focus on the underlying problems and on the real question that parents are asking, and that is, how do we keep our kids safe? That's going to require real work. It's going to require getting to the bottom of what motivates these people. And it's going to require investments in our mental health care system as well as security for our schools.
So if it's more about the people rather than the weapons themselves, why not require background checks on all gun sales, no matter what or where or when?
That's very difficult. You know, they started out talking about what they call the gun show loophole. In fact, very few guns that are sold at gun shows are sold without background checks. Most of them are sold by federal firearms licensed dealers, and that requires them to do a background check. A private sale, which is what they're talking about, is, for example, when a grandfather sells his gun to his grandson, or you sell me your shotgun because you've decided you're not a duck hunter anymore. Those are very, very difficult to regulate and are not regulated now any more than if you decide to sell me your car, it requires you to have a dealer's license. Now, they can talk about that, but I don't know, as a practical matter, how they're going to be able to do that. I'd like to see their proposal because I just don't think it's possible. And I don't think it would serve much of a purpose. The government has done studies of where criminals get guns. Most of them buy them on the black market, or they steal them or the like. Less than 2% of all the firearms that are used to commit crimes or ultimately end up in the hands of criminals come from gun shows, and that includes those that are done with background checks. So I just don't think that with all the bureaucracy that it would entail, with all the costs, with all of the dangers in terms of the Second Amendment, I don't think it will accomplish much. I think they should be focusing on things that will, in fact, protect the children.
Now, in a world in which a lot of people are really afraid of guns, and especially afraid of gun violence and being the victim of it, help them understand an NRA position, which is that if there were more guns, if more of us were armed, we would be a safer society.
You know, it's estimated that in a given year, as many as 2 million rapes, burglaries, robberies, and the like are prevented by a private citizen owning a firearm. And the fact of the matter is that in every place, in every state where there is concealed carry, where you can get a permit to carry a gun concealed, violent crime has gone down. There's a simple reason for that. and that is that most crime, and we're not now talking about the school shooter who's a lunatic, we're talking about most criminals who rob and steal and burglarize and the like, are in it for the money. And in their minds, if there's a danger that they're going to be confronted by a homeowner, a shop owner, by somebody they attack, there's less likely that it's likelihood that they're going to attack them. That doesn't mean everybody has to be armed, but it does focus the criminal on the costs of what he's going to do. The empirical evidence is that if citizens, potential victims, if you will, are armed or may be armed, that cuts down on the incidence of violent crime. Guns are used far more often to prevent crime than they are to commit crimes. You know, there's all of this focus on homicides with so-called assault weapons. In the last year, 2010, that the FBI has figures for, more people in this country were beaten to death than were killed by all of
them. Right. All of that notwithstanding, though, a lot of...
together.
Yeah, but David, all of that notwithstanding, and you know, that isn't really the argument. The argument is some criminals and some crazy people still are managing to get their hands on these things, and they are committing crimes that all of us deplore.
Well, everybody wants to prevent crimes, and the way to prevent them is for criminals who use firearms to be prosecuted. You know, it's a separate crime, a federal crime, for someone to use a firearm in the commission of a felony. Those separate crimes are very rarely prosecuted in this country. In other words, if you're a criminal, you know that using a firearm is not going to cause you any more problems than you'd have if you were arrested for the underlying crime. We think criminals need to be prosecuted. We think we need to find ways to keep all guns out of the hands of potentially dangerous, mentally ill people.
Right.
I think everybody can agree with that. The question is, how do you do that? How do you do it effectively, and how do you do it without infringing on the legitimate rights of American gun owners under the Second Amendment, on the rights of sportsmen, on the rights of gun collectors,
right,
on the rights of those who like to go to the range?
David, before we're out of time, let me ask you one more question.
Problem.
Some attention paid to membership at the NRA showed that the NRA actually drew as many as 100,000 new members following the Sandy Hook shooting and the reaction afterwards, at the same time that existing members were leaving, upset over Wayne LaPierre's speech following the shootings. Can the NRA offer anything to gun owners and Second Amendment supporters who do want some change, some restriction?
Well, we're polling our members right now. You know, there have been some bogus polls put out there done by pollsters who have been hired by Mayor Bloomberg of New York, to be frank. That say that they have polled NRA members. They don't even have lists of NRA members. So I wouldn't place a lot of confidence in those polls. But I can tell you this. I meet, Wayne LaPierre meets, our board meets. We talk with our members all the time. We represent them, and I can tell you that they want us to stand up for their Second Amendment rights today as we have in the past. And we're going to do that. That's our
good
mission.
Deal.
That's part of our mission.
David,
the rest of what we do involves training. We've got 80,000 people out there who are licensed and certified to train in firearms competence and in safety. We educate children. We work with the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the 4-H and the like. That's the NRA mission. We've been doing it since 1871, and we're going to continue to do it.
All right. NRA President David Keene, it's been great having you with us this morning.